Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
All right, welcome to the Catalyst Church. And it's my privilege to bring God's word to you. Hallelujah. Well, I think also just off the back of that, it would be good to let you know that this is the last teaching in our series, The Makings of the Man of the Spirit. Glory to God! So how has it been for you so far? Great? Have you been morphed? Have you been transformed? Are you sure? Hope the person you were before the series is not the same person you are now. It'd be like you are the same or you are not the same. They are not the same. Okay, glory to God. All right, so what's the topic of our teaching today? The makings of the man of the spirit. What's the subtopic? Sent. Say sent. Say sent. Hallelujah. We're going to get into the word very quickly. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of things that have to come together when it comes to the makings of a man of the spirit. A lot of things. And I have tried my best to just introduce you to some of the most important ones. But there are many things that make you a man of the spirit. And the things I've taught you so far at least form the foundation. And every other thing begins to stem out from there. And there are many other things. And those other things begin to stem out from those core things I have taught you. Listen, if you can review your notes, go over this thing and make sure that in your mind, you are assured of these particular principles I've given to you. These things that make up the core of who you are as a man of the spirit. Every other thing would what? Will flow. It begins with salvation. Being born of the spirit. Remember that? Being adopted into God's family. Then it goes to sanctification. How that your reality as one who is born of the spirit is that you begin to live out that sanctification, that holiness that has been imputed into you, that righteousness that has been imputed into you, it begins to come with things like discipline. If you're a man of God or a man of the Spirit and there's no discipline in your life, there's a problem. It goes to discipline. There are some things that must not be found in your life. You have to always be conscious of it. Amen. You have to what? Always be conscious of it. Am I walking in the right types of discipline? Am I praying? Because a man who doesn't have discipline in his life will live a life of contradiction. Did you hear what I said? A man who doesn't have what? Discipline in his life will live a life of contradiction. And this is important. And then after sanctification, we went to what? Consecration. Because the holiness of God would always bear consecration. What is consecration? Living your life for God, right? Being separated. Being called apart to the service of God. And then lastly, after consecration, what did we do next? Huh? You remember? Brave. Right? Now the man of the spirit is brave. And then after brave, we did what? Empowered. Well, after empowered today, we're going to talk about what? Sent. Sent. What does it mean to be sent? Some of you have sang the song. You said, you sent me to take the gospel. Eh? Yes, I will go. I will go. I will go. Yes, I will go. Have you gone? You went yesterday. Oh, glory. All right, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, everybody. Well, if you know me, you know that in a teaching series or in a particular Sunday, I do two teachings. My introduction is a teaching series, and then my normal teaching is a teaching series. So, hallelujah. All right, let's get into it. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Are we all there? Are we all there? Are you cold today? Are you going to read with me like a mass choir? All right, let's read 2 Timothy 3, 16 together. 1, 2, go. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He says all scripture. Does he say some?
He says what? All scripture is what? Given by the inspiration of God. That is, all scripture is God's breath. That's the meaning of given by the inspiration of God. It is what? God's breath. That is, God-inspired scriptures. The things you read in the Bible are not from a man, they are from God. Are you listening to me? Even though they were written by men. All scripture is God's breath. Never fall into the trap where you begin to think that scriptures were written by the volition of men. No. They were inspired. The men who wrote were inspired. You see, this introduction I want to do, how many of you have done at least the three parts of Grow? First three parts. We. Did you listen with him? Think assignment is my marriage. How many of you have done it? Rhoda, God bless you. Three. Okay, precious, God bless you. Okay, so this coming week, listen to the next three. Okay? Because some of these things I'm going to be explaining, I've already explained there. So I'm going to be explaining there. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. So he says all scripture is God's breath. That is, God gave scripture, and scripture is profitable for doctrine. Amen. He says scripture is God's breath. God gave scriptures. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is given or is subject to any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men. Are you seeing that? But holy men of God spoke as what? They were moved by the Holy Spirit. What does he say? No prophecy is of any what? Private interpretation. So that's the first thing you must learn. Read 20 first. Let's read together. One, two, go. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of what? Does that make sense? No prophecy of scriptures of private interpretation. Next verse. For prophecy never came by the... Does that make sense? So when you're thinking about the origin of scriptures, don't think it came by the will of man. Is this clear? How many of you have had this question before? Did the men write and we just put it in scripture? Or did God dictate to them? God did not necessarily dictate to them, but the things that were written were inspired. Does this make sense? So God communicated through the men. Even through their limitation and experiences, God communicated. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he used the languages of the men. If the person could not speak Chinese before, he would not write in Chinese. Are you seeing this? He will write in the language. He used their experiences. He used their culture. He used their geography. He used everything around them to communicate to them. Is that you listening to me? He says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved. The word moved there, actually in the Greek, the best analogy to explain it is like a boat that's on the sea and it's being borne along by the wind. Does that make sense? So even though the boat has a direction it's trying to go, the wind also is carrying it a direction. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Being borne along. So the direction of the boat is not necessarily just what the boat wants, it's also by the wind. Are you getting what I'm saying? So even though the men wanted to write sometimes, if they didn't want, the writing was not by their will, it was by the will of God. But even though they started to write, what was inspired to be written was from who? God. Who communicated through the mind and the mouth of men. Does this make sense? So God spoke, God inspired, and the men were to write. Hallelujah. They were moved. So they documented things with their minds and their limitations from their experiences, but it was God who inspired what should be written. The men wrote. They wrote in human language. Are you seeing what I'm saying? They communicated in whatever language they could understand. It means that their communication is also subject to the rules of that language. Meaning they use things like metaphors, similes. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So even though the Bible is a divine book, it is still a literary material. Please, are you getting this? They use metaphors. They use figures of speech. They use cultures. They use poems. Things that were understandable to the audience, the people they were speaking to. And this is why we always need Bible interpretation. Are you getting this? This is why we cannot just read. Our reading culture must have at its side interpretation, right interpretation. Please, does this make sense to you? So, and this is why when we want to do a study on any book, we must read the book with the approach or the mentality of how it was written. Because even though the Bible is a divine book, if you open it up and you go to the middle page and you just try to read from the middle, you would have done something wrong. Because you get what I'm teaching you. It's a divine book, but it's also a literary material. Men communicated using languages. So we must consider all of this when approaching scriptures. And this is why when you want to do a study, you don't just read anything. You do a book-by-book study many times. Understanding the way the Bible was composed will also help you understand the best way to read it. For example, when you understand that God communicated a central theme in the Bible, which is Jesus and the salvation plan, you would understand that you are not supposed to read the Old Testament separate from the New Testament. You are supposed to read both the Old and the New Testament together to be able to get the point. Are you following me? We must learn how to approach it. We can't just jump into the Bible and read it. We must learn how it was composed. We must understand how to go about it. We must understand its nature, its structure, and its content. What did I say? Can you say that one more time? And this is important. Open your Bibles very quickly. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13.
Are you all there?
All right. We're going to read verse 13 to 21, and then after that, we'll read 23 to 27. All right, read with me, everybody. One, two, go. Two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Backstory to this, these are disciples of Jesus who were once part of the company of people who had gone to check the tomb of Jesus on the resurrection morning, and they didn't find Jesus in the tomb. Please, are you following me? And so after that, they were surprised. What happened? And some of them had met an angel who told them that that Jesus, who they were looking for, has, you know, is risen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So these guys were leaving that company and they were going somewhere. The Bible says two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, if you do your math, a 7-mile walk will probably take about 3 hours. So they had 3 hours to be on this journey. Amen? Next verse. Let's read together. I want to go. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Next verse. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Next verse. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Amen. Are you following the story? So these guys were walking and Jesus joined them. But they couldn't recognize him because their eyes were restrained. But he appeared to them and he was walking with them. And I think it's very important that they could not recognize him. Because are you following me? Jesus didn't want them to recognize him immediately for a reason. Go to the next verse. Let's read together. I want to go. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Next verse. Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Next verse. And he said to them, what things? Next verse. Sorry, previous verse. My bad. Let's go on. One, two, go. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Meaning they knew who Jesus was. Are you seeing what I'm saying? They knew he was mighty in word and in deed. Do you get what I'm saying? Next verse. And how the chief priests and our rulers, are you reading with me? How they did what? They delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Next verse. But they were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Meaning they knew the Messiah as well. They knew the prophecy about the Messiah, who is going to redeem Israel. Amen? But they were not sure Jesus was the Messiah. Because they would not have said, it says, we were hoping that it was him. What was going to be the assurance that Jesus is the Messiah if he had risen from the dead? Are you seeing that? Does that make sense? So let's read this verse together. One, two, go. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Next. Indeed, beside this, today is the third day since these things happened. What do you think?
His death. Next verse.
Yeah? They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Next verse. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. Now, if you know, and if they knew, that the Messiah is going to be known by him being risen from the dead, and some people of your company have gone to the tomb and they didn't find his body, should you be speaking sad or should you be speaking happy? So why were they sad? There was still some form of unbelief and doubt in their heart. Are you getting this? Next verse. Then he said to them, let's read together. I want to go. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets had spoken. Next verse. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into... So listen, Jesus was upset. He says, oh, foolish ones. And being foolish there, it's not him insulting them. What does it mean to be foolish? To be slow to comprehend. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He says, oh, foolish ones. And what? Slow of heart to believe. Previous verse. In all that the prophets had done what? Spoken. So where should they have seen the evidence? In scripture. When we say scripture, what are we talking about? Old Testament. Why Old Testament? Because the New Testament had not been written yet. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So the scripture of the apostles was what? The Old Testament. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? This is important. So he said, oh, foolish ones. Permit me to say, Jesus is calling anyone who cannot see consistent from the Old Testament principles, he's calling that approach foolish. Permit me to say, are you getting what I'm saying? He's calling that approach foolish. If you cannot look through the scriptures to see the fulfillment of what is happening and get your evidence, he's calling that approach foolish. And not foolish as an insult, don't get distracted. Foolish as in slow to comprehend.
Are you learning something?
Next verse. Want to go. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Next verse. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what did Jesus do? He did a Bible study for them. Beginning from where? Who is Moses? Where is Moses? What is Moses? What does it mean beginning from Moses and all the prophets? Beginning from Genesis. Why beginning from Genesis? Because the books of Moses are what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Five books. So, when he said beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he's talking about what? The canon of the Old Testament. Amen. What is the canon? The canon is the list of accepted authoritative books. That's what we call the canon. So what you have in your Bible makes up the canon. Any other thing that is not there is not part of the canon. Do you see what I'm saying? Canonization is the process by which books that are not authoritative were removed from the collection of books that we find authoritative and cohesive. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's what we call the Old Testament canon. Where does your Bible end? What's the last book of the Old Testament? And all the books before it are called what? The books of what? The prophet. Do you see what I'm saying? So when he says beginning from Moses and all the prophets, it means Jesus did a Bible study for them about himself. So it's Jesus in the Old Testament. But that's the title of a book, Jesus in the Old Testament. Right? I think you should read it. It's a really good book. So, how do we find Jesus in the Old Testament? Jesus did an explanation of himself. And how? Remember, they didn't know
that it was Jesus. And this makes you realize something. Next verse.
Then they drew near to the village, read with me everybody, where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. Next verse. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Next verse. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Next verse. Then their eyes were what? Then they did what? And he... Now, I believe very strongly that the reason why this happened is because Jesus will first have them discern him in scriptures before any other way. Listen, if he wanted them to know that he is risen, he could have just appeared. Heal me. I am here. I'm alive. Say, why are you sad? See me. But he didn't do that. He first helped them see him. Oh, so their assurance about his resurrection, he wanted it to be from where first? Scriptures. Jesus, that means Jesus was doing, it's almost like you are doing a Bible study. You don't just go to what you have tangibly in front of you. You start from where? The Old Testament. You begin to trace the journey and understand what is going on.
Let's go to verse 23.
Verse 23.
Oh, we passed 23 by far. Sorry. Okay. Go to 36. Are you in 36?
All right. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Now, as they said these things, now what's going on here? Well, those guys got back. They told people that, we saw Jesus. We saw him on the road. Let's go on. 1, 2, go. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Next verse. But they were terrified and frightened.
Amen. 1, 2, go.
Previous verse. 1, 2, go. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Next verse. But they were terrified and frightened. Who wouldn't be? And they supposed that they had seen a spirit. Next verse. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Next verse. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. That means that when they met Jesus, they could touch him. It wasn't a spirit that appeared to them. It was they could feel. He had flesh, he had bone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Next verse. When he had said these things, read with me. He showed them his hands and his feet. Next verse. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So let me prove to you now. Next verse. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. Next verse. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Next. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. And one more time, which were written where? In the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning. So it means in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets, there is information about who? Are you seeing that? What's the law of Moses? 1. Exodus 2. Okay. Good. And the what? Prophets. What are some books of the prophets? Isaiah. Jeremiah. You are not sure. You have not listened to Grow. Okay, go listen to Grow. And then what are Psalms? Psalms. What else? Eh? There are some Psalms. Actually, there are some Psalms in some of those other books. Songs of Solomon. Wherever there are Psalms. Many, some, not all. Amen? I don't know that there are Psalms. There were Psalms in actual ordinary books as well. Actually, there are psalms in Exodus. Sang songs to God.
Amen.
So there are psalms in different parts. There are psalms that are songs.
Amen. A style of song.
There are songs, I'll just call them songs.
Hallelujah.
So he says, in all of these things, meaning in the whole of the Old Testament, Jesus said, this is what was written about who? Him. Is this making sense to you? So Jesus' Bible study approach was not to show them by reality that he is the Christ. It was to show them from where? The Old Testament.
Is that you get what I'm teaching you? Is this making sense to everybody? Next verse, what does he say?
And he... Let's read it together. One, two, go. That they might do what? Comprehend. The word open there is the word dianoigoi, D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O, which means to expound. He expounded. He says that they might what? Comprehend. The word comprehend there is tsunami. And tsunami means to put together. Are you seeing this? So when he says, oh fools and slow of heart, what was their problem? They could not what? Put together. Are you getting this? So when he expounded to them, what were they able to do?
Put together. Tsunami. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Put together in what sense? Consider both the old, what is in the scriptures, and see it with respect to the fulfillment and put it together.
Amen.
Meaning that if you don't read scriptures and put it together, your approach is wrong. Are you getting this? Scriptures must be read what? Together. You must put together. It's different to read together and put together. Do you see what I'm saying? If you read together, you then have to see how it is connected and put together.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
You have a better chance to put together if you read together.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
You have a better chance to what? Put together if you what? Read together. And this is important. And this is an approach to Bible study that would revolutionize your Bible study approach totally. An ability to put together. An ability to comprehend, to read together. So the Bible is meant to be read together. Not the new separate and the old separate, no. The division should not even be there, because the Old Testament must be read in the context of the New Testament. And the New Testament should be read in the context of the Old Testament. Amen? Because the Old Testament is the New Testament what? Concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament what? Revealed. And so when we want to read it, we must read it to what?
Together. Hallelujah.
And that's how you get the full picture. It must be read together. Let's look at how the apostles handled Bible study. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, everybody. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Are you all there? All right, let's read together. One, two, go. But you must continue in the things which you've learned, having been assured of whom you've known them from. Eh? Let's read again. One, two, go. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned. This is the problem of memorizing text in KJV and reading it in KJV. Who is speaking? Who is he speaking to? Okay, Timothy. Amen. All right. So he says you must continue in the things which you've learned, being assured of, knowing whom you've learned them from. Next verse. One, two, go. And that from childhood you've known what? What is the Holy Scripture? The Old Testament. Why? Alright, so I'll say the reason why that happens every time, not every time, is because if they make reference to scriptures in the New Testament, majority of the times they are talking about what? The Old. Actually, always, because they did not have New Testament. So their Bible was what? Old Testament. So when he says, and from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, he was saying you've known what? Actually, it's beyond just knowing it. He knew it by heart. Because Jewish children at age 5 already memorized Torah. That's the first 5 books, I believe. Yes, so they had it memorized. Jewish kids, 5. By 5, they started memorizing the Torah. By 11, they almost knew the whole of the Old Testament. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this was normal with Jewish children. It's almost like you see Arabic children have to memorize the whole Quran. Do you see what I'm saying? So at 11, they were almost very sound in every single part of it. That's why when people in the New Testament quote some Old Testament text, they know why they are quoting it. Because they will trust that the people can remember where it was written. Do you see what I'm saying? So when he says, from childhood you've known the scripture, it was not just to read it once. He knew majority of the parts of it. I don't know at what age they finally learn everything. But I think usually at people who learn the Quran are done with it. Do you see what I'm saying? So, he says, which are able to what? Make you And that must teach us something also. It must teach us that our children have more capacity than being. Even we. But at that age, they are very impressionable. So don't say they are too young to introduce them to the word of God. No.
Amen? It's the best time.
That's having memory verse assignment. Amen. Start having texts that have been important to you. John 3:16 in general. But beyond John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, Philippians 1:25, things that they would remember and they will know that, oh my God, this is what the Bible says about this. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Listen, memorization is very important. You wouldn't know until you are put in a situation where you have to respond. Now, I remember it was Pastor John Piper who was saying one time that his family just had someone that they lost. So he rushed there to go and see the family and console them. And the moment he got there, he was consoling them. Someone else said, Piper, just was very young then. Just encourage us from the word of God. No, it is Bible, not bad, nothing. And he froze. So embarrassed, he had to just try and cook up stuff, but he was not impressed with what he did. But from that day, write scripture. He said, I will. So that anytime I don't need to, I must be ready. Be ready to give an answer. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I must be ready. So he says, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. So Paul was telling Timothy that he has known the Old Testament, which are able to what? For what? Salvation by faith in who? Where? Does that make sense? So there's salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. Where? So even before Jesus came, there was information about salvation by faith in the old. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This was Paul's Bible study approach. He referred Timothy. He says, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise unto salvation. True faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Very similar to what Jesus did, right? Taking him back to what? The scriptures to make a point. Amen. It was Jesus himself in John chapter 5 verse 39 who said, you pour through scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. So, that's such an audacious statement. He says, search through the Old Testament, in them you think you have eternal life, but they talk about me. From all of this, you come to a conclusion that the central theme of the Old Testament is what? Are you getting what I'm saying? Is what? Is Jesus. So if the law is about Christ, or the teaching you to expect, the prophets are prophesying, helping people expect Christ. The gospel is teaching you the provision of salvation. The epistles are teaching you the announcement of salvation. Then what is the central theme of the whole Bible? Salvation. Or Jesus. Please, are you following me? So the central theme of the Bible is who? Is Jesus. It's a full story that must be read together. Heard me say many times that to understand a verse, you must read it in the context of what? Of the chapter. To understand the chapter, you must read the chapter in the context of what? The book, and the book in the context of what? The whole Bible. Because the Bible is a compendium of what? The plan, the provision, and the announcement of what? The Bible is a compendium of what again? The plan, the provision, the announcement of salvation. Where was he planned? In the Old Testament. Where was he provided? In the Gospels. Where was he announced? In the epistles. Do you see that? So it's a compendium of one more time, the plan, the provision, and what? So a good Bible study will read everything together. And you see what I'm saying? We'll read what? Everything together. Look at Acts chapter 2. They saw people speaking in tongues. Peter did not say, did Jesus not say? That said, it was written in the book of Joel. That it says this is the fulfillment of what was written in the book of Joel. That your sons and daughters will do what? Will dream dreams. They will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. It says, do you know what I'm saying? And so Peter quoted the Old Testament to make a point in the New. Do you see? The apostles had a track record or a habit of reading the Bible what? Together. Because does this make sense to everybody? So with respect to what I'm about to teach you today, let's do the same type of Bible study, because you must understand what necessitated many of the things I'm about to teach you today. In Genesis chapter 2, 1 verse 7, very quickly, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the teaching just started. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, hallelujah, amen. Let's read together, 1, 2, go. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into what? His nostrils the breath of what? Of life. And man became a living being. Verse 15. 1, 2, go. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in a garden to tend and keep. Next verse. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of what? Next verse. You shall what? Surely die. So God created man. He gave him life. Then he put him where? In a garden. But in the garden he told him that he can eat of any tree except what? The tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. For the day you eat it, you shall surely what? Die. Now this is a very powerful text. Especially because in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible already told you that God created man in his image. And in the image of God, God created him. And he said he created them male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Or not. Amen. He says Adam and what? Eve. Amen. Are we together? Amen. All right, let's continue. Hallelujah. So he says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and replenish the earth. And do what? Subdue. You see, actually, when he created whales and fishes, he actually said the same thing. Except subdue it. He actually said replenish, multiply, be fruitful. But he didn't say subdue it. He also said have dominion. So now the other things he told that they should replenish, yet he then tells man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that does what? That moves upon the earth. Now imagine a man who has dominion. Then God tells you can eat of any tree. What else are you looking for? Are you seeing what I'm saying? What else are you looking for? I read this and I was like, God, have dominion. Everything is for you. But no man is truly free if he does not have discipline. Everything is for you except one. Except one. You have dominion. You can kill and eat. For those people that say you cannot kill. God said you should kill any. Amen? You can't do anything. God bless the other animals to replenish the earth as well. Are you getting what I'm saying? It says, fill the water. But he told man, you would have dominion over them. You will have dominion. So mankind was given dominion. But in Genesis chapter 2, where we saw, there was a problem after God said, you should not touch this. And I'll show you something similar. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 11. This is going to bless you guys. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 actually verse 11. Are you all there? All right. Read together with me, everybody. 1, 2, go. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into the heaven for us and bring it down, that we may hear it and what? Do it. Verse 13. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But verse 14, what does it say? But the word is what? It's near you. And in your what? That you may do it. Verse 15. See, I have set before you what? Life and good. Death. And listen, this was the same decision they had in the garden. I have set before you good and evil, life and death. See, forget that the fruit is apple, orange, pineapple. That does not matter. Amen. What the fruit is does not matter. What matters is that God has said every other thing is good. But this one, it's not that it is evil, it's that it is wrong. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I've set before you good and bad. It's your choice. Your choice is either a good choice or a bad choice. It's not necessarily about the thing. If you've noticed that about God, there is nothing God cannot superimpose over. But it is your choice that matters, because it is your heart that matters. He said, I've set before you today life and good, death and what? Evil. In 16, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and what? Walk in his ways. And do what? this is the same problem that happened in Genesis. Before the law was given, there was no law until God said, do not eat of this. Do not. Some people say that the fruit was sex, the fruit was this. Can I tell you something? When you think fruit, don't think of what it is. It was more about disobedience and rebellion. Rebellion is the problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Rebellion was what? Was the problem? Definitely, there might be some parts of Genesis that might be priority still here and there on that subject matter. I've seen some things that are clearly literal. Some things I want to take as priority because they don't seem literal. Many people are of the school of thought that Genesis is both literal and figurative. Some people think it's all figurative. I don't. Because where do we draw the line, right? But in the end, what is most important is that it's the same thing that God had been doing. This was the first time that mankind would think any other idea outside of obedience to God. The first time. Remember, there was the influence of the devil as well. So for the first time, mankind is thinking of rebelling against what God has asked him to do. For the first time. He says, I've set before you these certain things. In verse 16 was where we stopped, right? He says, let's read 16 together. In that I command you today to do what? To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment, that you may what? Are you getting that this is a rehash? A rehash of the same thing he told them if they obeyed him. That you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to. So every time God did a new move of people, he blessed them to multiply, replenish, and have dominion. But there is always, if you obey me. This is consistent in all of the Old Testament. From Genesis, if you obey me. See, you have dominion over everything. Amen. This is important. There's a choice. A choice. We stopped at 16, right? Let's read 17. It says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce you to you today that you shall surely perish. Are you getting this? Of you think is the fruit that made them die? The rebellion that made them die? Because it says it's the tree of knowledge of good, and there's nothing, it says it's knowledge of, there's nothing that's going to kill you from the knowledge of good and evil. But God must have had a plan. Can I tell you something? Never said it. Just came to my spirit now. I just share. It was more about God's definition of good and evil than choosing what you think gives you the autonomy to define good and evil for yourself. Hear what I said? Listen. It was more about God saying every other thing is good for food, but this one, no matter how big, I have said it. That's why Satan said, has God said you should not eat of any? That's not what God said. He played against their understanding of the instruction that was given and then led them to rebellion. So pay attention. The tree is the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. But who already defined good and evil for them? See what I'm saying? It was more about them willing to choose something that will give them an autonomy of deciding what is good and evil than trusting God's definition of what is right from what is wrong. I don't like to break down and try to define what is figurative in Genesis. What I try to understand, the theological concepts or construct, I must say concept, all through the whole of the Old Testament. That's the same thing that's going on here. Between you good and evil. 18, it says, I announce to you today you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. And that's also something that shows you that you might have good free will, but God always wants you. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you to choose life. He says, I encourage you, do what? Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Do you see what I'm saying? There is a choice of what? Life and good or bad. But they chose what? And yes, truly there was the influence of the devil, but they chose them. Because it would not have mattered the influence of the devil if they believed God. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Well, we know what they chose. What did I just do? I just showed you consistency in the thought process of Moses when he was writing both Genesis and what was the purpose of writing the books? To show them their rebellion against God. So that as they go on in their sojourn, they will learn from the mistakes of their fathers and not enter the exile in Canaan. Are you getting this? See that since last year, God has been giving us a consistent theme of understanding the Old Testament. And I feel like it's getting clearer. Amen. What does he say? Want to go. Therefore, just as what? All right, let's read together. Are you ready? Are you awake? All right, want to go. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus, because this is powerful. So yes, through one man entered what? Sin. So sin entered the world through one man. Who's that one man? Adam. And Adam is the first human, mankind. Arguments on this as well. But Adam is what? Mankind. Amen. Yeah, the one that God interacted with. Amen. Yeah. Clear? Okay. Now, Adam in court was a representative. Are you following me? And the Bible says death entered into. That's, I tell you the things I know. Adam is what? A representative. And the Bible says death entered into the world through that one man. And death spread to all men. But listen, he also said. Are you getting what I'm saying? Either ways, you're not going to be punished for Adam's sins. You're going to be punished for your own sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is very important for you to learn. It says, because all sin. So yes, Adam was a representative. Death entered the world through him. But all of mankind has what also? Sinned. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? So let's do the progression one by one. It says that death entered into the world. It says because all of mankind has what? Sinned. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Next stage. Then he now says the wages of sin is what? Death. Are you getting what I'm saying? But then he says what? The gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please, does this make sense to you? And this is simply a presentation of the gospel that starts from the Old Testament. That shows you that when man rebelled, he was condemned. Amen? But in Christ, there was what? Redemption. So if you go back to Romans 5:12, by the time you get to verse 13, are you learning something? By the time you get to verse 13, it says, for until the law was sin in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Next verse, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness or the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Who is the he that is to come? He's trying to show you that if one man sin entered into this world, it's only fitting that through one man, righteousness will come to us. Amen? But listen, even though Adam's sin is not what you are punished for, you still are punished for your own sin. It's the same way, even though Jesus has died for you, you have your part to play in getting into that equation. Amen? Which is by what? Believing. Faith. Is that clear to everybody?
who is lost? I should take it again. From where?
So this is what I mean. Adam's sin caused death to enter into the world. Amen? Death began to reign. Different things started to happen. There's a propensity in man. But in the end, you're not going to be punished for Adam's sin in particular. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to be punished for your own sin, because all of mankind ultimately has what? Sin. If you have not sinned, now you sin. Does that make sense? All of mankind has sinned. Who has not sinned? So, if by one man's transgression, that propensity came to us, even though we are punished for our own sin, are you seeing what I'm saying? It is also only fitting that by one man's sacrifice, righteousness comes, but it does not just come on you. You still have to believe, get into, you see what I'm saying? So there's still a choice. You can exclude yourself. You see what I'm saying? All right. So he says, next verse. But the free gift of God is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to what? Next verse. I think that's it. Let's see. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, but the judgment which came from one's offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in what? It's not telling you the difference between Adam and Jesus. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, everybody? So what's the problem? Sin. Rebellion. What's the solution? Jesus. Yes, you know it. No, Jesus and his death. Is this clear? So he says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is what? Righteousness, eternal life. Through who? Christ. So that problem, which was rebellion, had a solution. The gift was what? Eternal life. You all know the gospel, right? What is the gospel? The gospel is that God has accepted the death of Jesus as what? Propitiation for sin, and as what? Ever since bestowed eternal life upon all who believe. Amen? It still has the same thing. God has accepted the death of Jesus Christ. He died as propitiation for our sin, meaning he died for our sin. And as what? Ever since bestowed eternal life on all who believe. Go and listen to Understanding Gospel series. I'm not coming back again. Amen? So listen, mankind ultimately rebels against God and sin, and thus is condemned. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But then there is a solution. What is the solution? The gospel. Jesus coming to die. But like that example I gave you, the fact that Jesus has died for all of mankind does not mean all of mankind has received righteousness. Can I say that again? Are you all following me or are you lost? Are you listening to me? What was the question I asked again? The fact that Jesus has died for the whole of mankind does not mean the whole of mankind has received salvation. Does that make sense? No wonder Jesus says in Mark chapter 16 verse 15, he says, and he said to them, go. This was the great commission. This was the last thing Jesus said after his death. What did the death of Jesus provide? Salvation. Amen? And then before he ascended, he said something. He says, go into all the world and do what? Can we read it together? One, two, go. And he said to them, and preach the gospel to what? How many? Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be what? And he who does not believe will be what? He says to preach to what? Every creature. There's death and condemnation in the world, and it does not matter if you are ignorant about it. It's still in the world. That's why I started from Genesis, to show you that there is... Listen, apart from Jesus, no one has done anything about sin and condemnation, because no one can do anything about it. Amen. No other person. Do you know no other person could have died for your sin? Even me, I could not have died for your sin. Do you know why? If I die for your sins, what of my own sin? So nobody could have died for the sins of everybody, because everybody, they all have sinned. So it would take a man who is without sin to die for the sins of others. That's why Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. That's why he had to come through a virgin. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the propensity of sin was transferred through Adam. You see what I'm saying? The propensity was transferred through through Adam. And so Jesus had to be born not of that progeny or that history for him to be sinless. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? And so because of that, he can now take up the sins of everyone because he doesn't have sin. He became a perfect sacrifice because he's without sin. Does that make sense to you? That's why anybody who tells you Jesus was not born of a virgin is a liar and is attacking your salvation.
Are you listening to me?
So you have to know how you are saved. Because if Jesus was born of natural intercourse between a man and a woman, you have sin ultimately. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have sin ultimately. Then he's not a perfect sacrifice for our sin. That was what the Old Testament was trying to shadow by using a white plain lamb as sacrifice.
Are you getting this?
That was what they were trying to prefigure.
Is this clear?
That stainless lamb that is without sin. That was what they were trying to shadow. So, Jesus was giving them an evangelical mandate because he has done something, and it will not matter that he has done that thing if you cannot spread it. Are you listening to me? Condemnation is all around. People are condemned and they are going to hell. It would not matter the sacrifice of Jesus if we cannot spread the gospel. So he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, many times when people are saved, they are automatically expected to know what to do. But I want to teach you that, yes, you are saved now, but you are not just saved, you've received a mandate. He said, go into all the world and preach. Listen, there's almost nothing else in the church that God is as passionate about as going to spread what he has done.
Are you listening to me?
You know, there are markers of growth. There are ways I can look at you and know if you're growing or not. One of the ways is prayer. Another of it is evangelism. I tell you, it takes maturity. Take evangelism seriously.
Are you listening to me?
Because you know that it's not just about you. The Bible says that God will have all men saved and what? Come to the edge. The truth. That's God's desire. So yes, you are saved, but God still has billions of people in his mind.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
The Bible says that you have all men what? Saved. All. How many? All. You know, there are some people, when they're coming, what are they? They're talking about evangelism. They say,
I know.
That's a sign that you don't know. The sign that you don't know. Because there is a lot. Say there is a lot. Tell the person beside you, there is what? He says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who we have all men saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And God is such a great example, because he did not just instruct us to go into the world and preach the gospel, he led the charge.
Hey, do you understand what I'm teaching you?
He led what? The charge. He's not telling you to do something he does not understand. The fact that he came as a man. The Bible says we don't have a high priest who is not touched. He came to experience it and then to give his life for it. So don't think he doesn't know what you are going through. He knows. And he gave his life for it. So, see, evangelism. Jesus lived his life as an evangelist. He's not sending you on an assignment that he has not done before.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus came to die for your sin, but he also came as a prototype, an example, for you to see what is possible. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. I want you to read this with all your heart.
Amen.
Everybody with me. Let's read together. Are you ready? Are you sleeping? Are you ready? All right. 1, 2, go. Yes. Who? Yes. He says, let this mind be in you. What is he saying? In local terms, borrow sense from Jesus. He's saying, have this type of mindset. Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal. So he had equality with God. But he didn't.
This is another thing.
It's another proof that Jesus is God.
Amen.
He says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be what? Next verse. But made himself of what? Taking the form of mindset. God did not think it robbery to be called to God. He says he made himself of no reputation. You know what this means? Not even say he characterized becoming a man being of no reputation. So the comparison between a deity becoming human is like you becoming of no reputation.
Sounds insulting. But it's not true. It's not insulting. But even insulting God.
I'm telling you. I told you the other day when I was teaching you that thinking of yourself becoming a maggot is small in comparison to thinking of God becoming a human. He led the charge. He says, taking on the form of a what? A slave. So he's comparing becoming a human to you, a free man, becoming a slave. He says, I'm coming in the likeness of what? Next verse. And be, can you read together? Everybody want to go? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of even what? His humility, oh, as spitting on the Lord of glory. So everything he went for you is an example to show you what he did for souls so you can follow. Can you hear me? If God do this for souls, what is too big? In Spartan before? We have not started. My teaching. They put a crown of thorn. I always make this joke when I. There was no ritual. Jesus could have just done it. Just make the soldiers into a new breed, especially of animal. With your leg at your head, your hair, your. Just form you to. He endured it. You think he didn't have the power to? Satan said, if you fall down, a legion of angels will come and catch you. That's Satan talking about the reputation of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that means at his beck and call, a legion of angels could have answered. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? He led the charge. He said, if I'm sending you to do this, look at what I've done as well for souls. Look at what I did for you. Made himself of no what? Of no reputation. This is powerful. He then says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Next verse. I think it's done. Okay, that's it. So, he made himself of what? Of no reputation. He humbled himself for this same soul. So, Christ lost a battle he could have easily won just because of souls. What a mindset! That Jesus, because of the souls of men, gave up everything. It takes humility. It takes intentionality to humble yourself like this. Stepping out of your glory. Stepping out of your comfort zone. How much more you? So when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, remember that God has done even beyond that for these same souls. So I will respond in obedience. Are you listening to me? I will respond in what? In obedience. In obedience. In obedience. That's what I will do. Two guys were walking. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. That's what he told his disciples. And that's what God wants you. He wants you to know that his mindset is about men. And when it comes to fishing for men, there's just one thing I want to tell you. There are patterns and principles. You cannot just go anyhow. If you have a mandate, you must prepare for the mandate. Amen. If you have an assignment, you must prepare for the assignment. If you have a job, you must prepare for the job. You must be skilled enough. How many of you are skilled enough to respond to you? That's my question. My pastor and this evangelism. Hear it every day. Amen. Be honest. Check it. Am I skilled enough to take up this that God has asked me to do? See, when you want to fish for souls, same way when you want to fish for men, the right type of bait matters. I get what I'm saying. The right type of line matters. If you use the wrong type of, if you use the wrong bait, you might not catch it. Use the wrong, it might break in the mouth of it. If you use the wrong line, it might break. If you fish in the wrong area, you might not get any fish. Are you following me? You might be the best fisherman, but if you don't fish at the right time of the day, you will not catch any fish. Listen, the same goes for souls. Are you getting what I'm saying? The same does what? Goes for souls. You must be intelligent with the way you approach catching fish. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. And I want to tell you the same. I want you to become fishers of men. Because when you got saved, the Bible says you've been given a ministry. What's that ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. Amen? No, the man went, Jesus said, if you know the gift of God, you know what I have for you. Don't ask me for water. No, you need to start telling me. If you know what I have for you, don't listen to me as classmates. Don't tell them like that. Amen. But you must begin to act like that, knowing that you have the gift that is going to change the life of a person. Please, are you following me, everybody? There are a few things that we must know who are going to fulfill God's mandate. Number one, there is competition. You hear what I said? There is what? I don't think you heard me. There is what? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? With who? I'll tell you. Because the devil is also in the business of soul winning. There's competition. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking who to what? Devour. There is competition, and you need to realize it. You need to stop the nonchalance you're doing with respect to souls. There is competition. Listen, something would always fill the heart of a man. If you don't fill it with the right thing, something else will fill it. So don't act like you don't have competition. It's one thing to be on a training ground where you are running alone, but it's another thing to be on the track in the real event. What's the difference? There is competition. Are you listening to me? And good athletes train harder so that when it's the real deal, they do what? They deliver. 2 Timothy 5:18 says, all things are of God who had reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. So you all have a call. Stop thinking I'm not an evangelist. You have, you already know. I know. You're in this church, well, you know. Amen. Let's not think small with evangelism. All of the channels and platforms that we think are for the devil. For the devil. They're not for the devil. They are mediums. Devil has just few information. There's competition. We wake up to that. And the funniest thing, the fear that we have now when it comes to talking to people, when it comes to taking space for Jesus, people who just wake up one morning, dress up, print a flyer, go and share it, you will not be scared. People who are inviting people to parties and they don't care. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to know that there's competition. I'm just trying to help you see that other people are using mediums you are not using. That billboard filled with something else, not necessarily of the devil, but it should be filled with something else. Don't fill it up. Something of the gospel. Social media, the TV, whatever it will be filled up with something. Technology is not of the devil. It's a medium. If you don't fill it up, you know, we're always playing catch up in this thing. Before we started doing Bible apps, but I've been doing apps. Amen? Must catch up. In your different industry, your different spheres, you have to. Everywhere. Information. If we will compete for the souls of men, we have to stop small thinking and start reaching out to people where they are. What are intelligent ways you can preach the gospel in your workplace? And workplace is not necessarily for that, definitely. But I'm saying, what are intelligent ways legally? You can have coffee with somebody after work. You can build intentional friendships with people. Some of you will need to come out of your shell to make it of a man of the spirit. And I'll just tell you how this connects to it. The man of the spirit is an evangelist every day. Not only when church evangelism meeting. Your head is always thinking, how do I get souls saved? If you have coffee with some people, first week you do it, second week you do it, third week you do it. It becomes a habit, a work culture outside of the office. Get to know people. Anybody that can ask you a personal question, you can ask them a personal. You are no more invading their private space. So you can ask, you believe. Are you listening to me? The biggest problem we've seen with evangelism in Canada is breaking the first eyes of personal space. Right? That's it. Yes or no? So how about finding intelligent to break that ice? Are you following me? People that Jesus was after were not on Twitter, but people you are after just might be there. They just might be on Snapchat. Are you following me? Just might be on Instagram. Victory, they just might be on YouTube. Victory likes it. They just might be there. Amen. So this year alone, most half of our church has a dog, has a podcast. I don't care. I don't mind. I love it. I mean, I want to encourage them. Many of them will go on to become teachers, but they have to start somewhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? They have to start somewhere. So whatever it is that you can start with, start. Are you learning? Start. Start. All of you that always say, welcome to my YouTube channel. They are not pleasant that I'm watching you. If you just say, welcome to my YouTube channel, let me take you on a journey. Just do it. Welcome them to your YouTube channel. Just don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Amen. Get on it. Get doing it. Find creative ways. I'm telling you, I was praying one day. God told me, people don't answer you when you shake them. Why? And told me, you might present a look that is not not welcoming. It's more, there are some people who are just present as probable threat because people subtly profile. See two black boys, see a Kenne walking up to you. Yeah. You either have fine boy expectation or why are you walking? Or the way some of us, we saw a Kenny and Jennifer walking. They ready couple slay. Because some people profile just from how you look. They think you're soliciting or coming to beg them for. Was it they told what you want? What do you want? You know. So you have to know. So the Lord gave me an idea and said, how about you print a card that says, can you answer four quick questions? Just walk up to someone. Hi, and just smile. So you don't need to hear my accent before you accept. So sometimes accent back. So I thought of it and I'm like, can I get the first card to say, can I get 2 minutes of your time? Second card will say, they already think it's a TikTok thing. I even thought of carrying mic and camera. Just say, hi, can I get 2 minutes of your time? So I'll be like, oh, hi. Hi. They'll think I'm doing this thing. I'll share money. I will share gospel for you. Actually, I wanted to start with that many months ago. But I don't like. I used to feel for that. Let me get my group and not be because of the post. I wanted to genuinely become
the man of the spirit, evangelist, for now doing all the, so that my heart is in the right place. So that I'll not just be going on, because if I watch your video, I say, ah, sir, how do you talk to that person? But now I can. And if your heart is right, you can. You see what I'm saying? So that's how you have to think. You have to be competent when it comes to souls. You have to be. Because are you following me? Jesus went as far as eating publicans while he was presenting his message. You are not competing, you are wrong. You must compete for the souls of men. Are you listening to me? Say, I compete for the souls of men. Say, I compete for the souls of men. Amen. Because the world is searching for the best way to get people's attention. I'm telling you, one day, maybe one day, myself now, I will start paying for ad. If someone just say God, we just show the next advert. Does that happen to you? You say BMW, and the next YouTube advert, the car advert. Why? I told my boss said, no, it's not possible. They always just can't. They don't use our data for it. Now we know. Can't say. That's the technology behind Alexa. The way Alexa knows when you say, hey, Alexa, is because Alexa is always listening. Do you get what I'm saying? Alexa is always listening. Do you know why your phone comes on when you hold it? Because it's always taking pictures. Seconds of flash shot. It doesn't use it. Just take seconds of flash shot. And so when it takes a picture and there's facial recognition done on it, those are the comes. People don't believe that these are the things that happen, but that's the only way the technology can work. It's not that it's going to take that. It's that there are sensors. So once you place your phone up or you hold your phone, well, the only way it's even going to process your face is by taking milliseconds of flash. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I'm trying to tell you that people have taken advantage of technology to push their products to you. How about take advantage of technology? Amen. Are you following me? You're always searching for the best way to reach you. Let me now go to the gospel. Now look at the pastor. There are people that have agendas in this world. Be competitive. Be very, very competitive when it comes to souls. Media are very important. It has to do with perception. What you see, what you hear. Are you following me? You know, there's something I heard many years ago, and I read about it recently. I don't know the move that started it. I've read about it. It's called the Seven Mountains of Influence. Are you listening to me? It's called what? You want to influence people? Try and come. Number one, family. So never overemphasized. I'm telling you, family. Get this right, we would raise. What is the smallest unit of a community? It's the family. Global change will start from family change. Let's have less families that are divorced. We will raise better children. That's what I'm saying. We'll raise more children. Not more, better. Better. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's raise them right. They would influence more people. Don't raise them, they will become a problem in our society again. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let's start at the family level. Let your children be sound. So that we have one less problem. Can I tell you something? This is reason enough. You don't want to bring a child to this world because you don't want to raise it right. Please don't bring it or her. Hear what I'm saying? Don't cause more problems. That's one more soul to evangelize to. Amen. That's one more soul to evangelize to. Raise him right. I'll not debate him when he's on his God. You know, these are the things. There's some faith that are 8, 9, so that they populate the area. I'm not saying give birth to it, but you and I, if you did, our church don't fool. I will disciple, eh? Raise them in the way of the Lord. This one I do 7. 8 plus 7. Raise them in the way of. When we go on evangelize, army. Army of God. So we are the disciples. We don't give the fruits. We raise the seed. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying?
If we can raise them right, let's bring them to the world.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Say contend. Must contend. Number two. So they put religion here, but it's fine. Number two, education. What do they teach your kids in school? We are products of how we were raised. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're products of how we were raised and the things we were taught. You know, curriculums change every time. I think it's what we learned. As well, especially you people are here. Watch. Just that statement. That's it. I'm telling you, that's it. Even if it's as small as 200, 300, 500, that's it. I'll tell you why. Because when they come, the only types of schools that might be able to give them what you want, yeah, be expensive. The ones that are free don't control what it is. Don't control what they teach them. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't. Start saving. Take it from me, oh. Start saving. Are you listening to me? Start what? Saving. Next is media. Media. It's important because it deals with perception and hearing, and sight is the strongest sense. You know, we're watching a video. I said dog is the strongest smell sense of a dog. Smell is the strongest sense of a dog. For us, it's sight. What we see, it doesn't leave us. Just a flash. Ideas are imprinted in your mind. No, actually, so how many of you? I like preaching. How many of you saw this movie? What you see. I mean, when you see me or what you don't see. There's one movie like that. What? Now you see me, now you don't. But I know Bible. Glory to God. Now you see me, right? They were going to make a guy make. Guess what they did? They implanted, implanted a number everywhere in his life. He saw it for split seconds, but he suggested to him when it was time to make that decision. I don't think he's a liar. I think he put that in reality. Game shows, right? In reality. Yeah, it will happen. Does it happen to you? Me and you, if we hum the song in our minds, we'll be on the same tempo at the same part of the song together. And maybe I started it at the door. Has it happened to you before? You just start singing a song. You say, who put this song in my mind? You just heard it once. And you continue singing it in the same tempo, the same. Actually, you are more impressionable than you. I'm more impressionable than you. That's why. Yeah, when they want to change narrative, they bombard you. You keep seeing it everywhere. That's what happened with. Am I even scared? I'm not scared. Why am I not mentioning? Because it's not my focus today. But that's what happened with every idea of sexuality that's been pushed. It was pushed so much so that if you're not doing it, you are canceled. It was pushed so much so that you see it everywhere. And let me ask you, singles are not fun. That's all I'll say about it. Government. Watch God's Not Dead Part 4. Same. It was 4, right? Latest. Where the government told them not to homeschool their children. Even though they wanted to homeschool their children so they don't learn the wrong thing. Government said they were going to shut down their homeschool. So they needed quality to help them sway. Now, abortion is canceled. It was because of specific someone, specific people in office. I'll leave it there. Then there's business. Anyways, I just wanted to show you that there are places of influence we be in. Amen? Number two, we must be wise and we must prepare. So, two of the things he must do to fulfill this mandate. But two, you must be wise and prepare. I'll give you one text. Matthew 10:16. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. Be ye therefore what? Wise as serpents and harmless as what? Doves." It says, be wise as what? And say that one more time. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Never forget. Never what? Be wise as serpent. Harmless. It's important. This is important. This is wisdom. I read an article recently about serpents and how they attack. There are two ways a serpent will catch its prey. The first is that it will stalk its prey. Stalk and stalk and watch for a long time, knowing its strength and its weaknesses. Then it attacks it. Are you listening to me? They go to the place the prey likes to hang out. They wait for them. Because they can't strike you if you're not close enough. Are you seeing what I'm saying? They make use of camouflage. They blend in where they are. Just, that's one of the ways. He says, wise serpents. There must be wisdom in how we approach people we are trying to reach. What did I say? Wisdom. Like the serpents, you have to study the people. Where to meet them. Amen. Been standing on your street, that's not been working. Don't you already know that your street is not the best place to evangelize? You see what I'm saying? Wise as serpent. Find ways. Think. That's why we're trying to, like, having canopies downtown, doing sort of like a coffee giveaway, whatever it is. I think you're thinking too small. That's why you don't think God can fund it. Think about it. Be wise as serpents. Watch. Knowing no man after the flesh. When you have a classmate, watch. Oh, hey. Because this one, exam, study together, do everything for be wise. Watch. There will be something that will connect that conversation. And simply be the person in scared and says, "Oh, Jesus. That Jesus, Jesus. Hey, you just do it smooth with this gospel. Is that Jesus, Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus?" They know I don't. Okay. Yeah, I was just asking. Don't go further. Leave it that first time. Another opportunity will come. Or be wise. They watch. Say, "Oh, I saw that during the what's that feast? They were hurry. I saw that you tell me more about the stuff. So how many girls you guys like worship? How do you know which one is the one?" "Oh no, they're all real." "Oh wow. Is there proof of it? I've actually checked out this thing before. Is there proof of it?" So, you know the funniest thing? Get people talking more than you are talking. Don't seem imposing. Get people talking. Ask a question and listen. Genuinely listen. You know the funniest part? The end, sometimes. Depends. Sometimes share, sometimes don't share. Your right opportunity. But just get them talking. Are you getting what I'm saying? Get them talking. Get them to defend. Are you seeing what I'm teaching you? Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. You must know how to approach different categories of people you're reaching out to. Same method and strategy will not work always. I try to copy my wife's style. You say, "Hi, can I talk to you about Jesus?" Even if they don't want you. For me now, one man, we resemble African. I come. Hi, can I just... One lady came here and said, "Oh, you I that it pain me. I first looked at myself like this. You know, so no, stop, you can't go to everybody the same way. Another thing, guys are easier to talk to other guys, girls, than me. I've not. Because guys don't really care. I don't even give a handshake. Actually, no, not in Canada. But in some way, I've seen that. I'm not saying go for only guys. I'm just saying know how you approach it. Because if a lady sees you, a lady is thinking, I don't want sexual harassment. I don't want anything. I don't want you invading my private space. I don't want you. A guy feels like I can defend myself, tries that, will punch your face. So he's going to be willing to give you a handshake and talk to you and listen to what you have to say. See what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to profile or do anything. I'm just trying to tell you that you must have strategies for different types of people. You see what I'm saying? You must, because another thing, when you're going to a woman who has kids, be careful. Because she's already protective of her kids. So these are things that you must study and know the people you're talking to. This is a Canadian. They are nice on the smile. But we know that's a front. We all know, right? The front. So you want to find how to try and help them relate that their real smile to their reality. Say hi. Yeah. And you know the funny thing? Ask them for help you practice vegetarian work. You know? Just bring ice. You see what I'm saying? I've chopped a lot to I've chopped. Man. So know who you're talking to. Don't be too obvious. Wear reflective jacket. Name of your church at the back. I did not mention it. I already even mean I'm a Christian. See? Eh? So, you have to be wise, is what I'm saying. You have to be wise. You have to be wise. Hold the megaphone already in front of the mall. They will even pursue you and will not support you. Because don't you know that where we are? So when you first come from Nigeria, amen. See, Paul said, "In him we move and live and have our bread." Says, as one of your prophets, as one of your poets, rather said, "They are poets." He used that as a way to relate to them. I watch Baobali. Watch it. Yeah. Recommend more for me. He said, "How to recommend more for a chosen?" I'm joking. But that's a conversation starter. Or can you recommend? I haven't tried Indian food. Recommend more. Let's go together. See, all I need is that 30 minutes of food. I will tell you everything. You can understand up and say, you are not doing it. Careful. Together. He says, wise as sir. He says, harmless as what? As dogs. Do you even know the category of people they are preaching to? Muslims, speaking to atheists, speaking to Mormons, speaking to Seventh-day Adventists, speaking to Jehovah's Witness. Even someone that says that I'm a Christian, don't agree until you hear what they believe. You know what I'm saying? That a Christian, yes, I'm a Christian. Wow. What do you believe? My dad is a Christian. Christian. How are you saved? I was born into a Christian. Christian. Saved. Don't tell them that. But I'm just saying. Do you see what I'm saying? Ask them. One day, I can't remember, one guy said, I believe in God. Somebody will say, we're all God. He said, don't you? The Bible says, yeah, God. See, I've entered realm. And God should. We're all God. He said, I remember one day I was meditating. In, out. We're all God. He said, as you are a God. If you attain a level of ascendancy, unlock God level. You know, that's a common heresy in religion, that people believe that Jesus was human but unlocked the God state. So do you know who they are preaching to? Muslims don't have a problem with Jesus. Christians believe Jesus is God, but guess what? They believe he's a prophet, they believe he's a miracle worker,
They believe he was born of a virgin. They don't believe he died. But they believe he went to heaven. So if they die, he went to heaven. If you say that he did not die, then you are not saved. Because his death is the most important thing to getting us saved. So you must know what you believe and know what they believe. I say we should do class now. And I say, you come. Believers Bible course, you know, come. Come for battle. So, listen, I'm going to try to do more teachings like this. But I want you to know. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, I even know the surahs that all these things. As our deep study to know. Are you with me? They believe that God intervened and just took Jesus up miraculously. They believe that it was Judas that they killed instead of Jesus. Out of Jehovah's Witness. They believe that God is Jehovah alone. They don't believe in Trinity. They believe Jesus is an angel. Why? I asked them. They believe that God is Jehovah and completely separate from God. They believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. That's what they believe. And they believe that the end time is now and it has started happening. Definitely. They believe that the Holy Spirit is an active force, but it's not God. And they believe that only 144 people will go to heaven. 44,000, I think, yeah. 144,000. So they believe that the rest of us are just happy but will not be part of them. I'm like, what? I even asked someone there. I said, why are you doing all this thing now? You are not going to heaven. How to approach atheists. No atheists are different from agnostics. Agnostics will agree with you that maybe there's a God. So they don't really care about what you are saying. Because they're in a position where they are like, maybe there's a God. Maybe they really can't say. They believe there's a God who created the world, he has abandoned the world. Then they are atheists. God. You can't meet me and remain the same. That's what you think about yourself. So we went to see my friend yesterday. Somebody is agnostic. He and friend. We got very close. Listen, I'm still his best friend. Such that I called him. I said, who are you talking to? He said, it's not really. I said, I felt bad. Because I'm not going to visit him. We're very close. So I was very close to an atheist. Some of you cannot. Some of you already be joined. Pastor, you are an atheist. Okay, together. Atheist, you're very... Listen, you cannot be too obvious. Cannot be too obvious. We went to visit him yesterday. We have a dinner with him. So, because no matter what, he's still human. We are humans as well. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes you don't ideas on people unless you're genuine. And people can spell it by the way. You're just marking register. You just want to, they know. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's one here. Catholic. Amen. Not all Christians. If you believe that there's another way for a man to be saved other than the death of Jesus, it's a problem. If you believe that a man in this world can lay hands on you and say you are forgiven, and you think you are forgiven, that's sin. Sometimes by faith and faith in Christ. If you say faith and work, there's a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? You cannot absolve anybody's sin. You cannot pay for the sin of the dead. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Nobody can pray to Jesus for you. Jesus himself helped you talk to God. You are not using another human being.
No. Pray for all sinners. Full of grace. The Lord is with you. I said that among God. That is.
Why are you praying to a human? Only some people are saints. The rest of us are. Bible says. To the church at Ephesus. Saints at Ephesus. Amen? Saints at Ephesus. You know how to talk to people. Talk about God. How to talk to people. Mormons. You are not careful. Convert you. Those guys are serious with evangelism. You are not careful. They will evangelize you. They will convert you. Ask you that, how are you sure now that the Bible you have now is the real Bible? Your own guy has the real stuff. But they will not tell you that two times now, Seventh-day Adventists prophesied the end of the world did not end.
same with Mormon. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you have to listen. Let me round up with this. Time is fast spent. Jude 1:3. I have a lot to share, but well, we have to always do extra teaching. Just pop up things. That's why I want us to have our space. I have many pop up. I teach these things. Jude 1:3. I'll read Jude 1:3. 1 Peter 3. And then I will stop there. Have you learned something? Are you encouraged? Read together. Want to go? While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to what? Contend earnest for the faith was once. So he said, don't argue, don't argue. He said what? Contend. Where is it? Contend earnestly. The Greek word is epagonizomai. It sounds like a fight. It means to struggle. Be ready to give an answer. If I ask you, why do you believe God? What would you say? Think about it. If you don't have a one sentence answer for 2 minutes, you're not ready. 1 Peter 3:15. Check yourself. Oh. Why do you believe in God? I don't want to. Just check. When you grade yourself from your answer. 1 Peter 3:15. And that question, you've not seen God before. Why didn't you? We are checking your heart, Abby. Read together, want to go? But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It says sanctify the Lord in your heart, but ready to do what? Give a defense. This is a legal term. Give a defense. Are you following? Give a what? For the reason of the hope. My last question. How are you sure Jesus is not a fraud? Man who came, did many. How are you sure he resurrected? What if his disciple stole his body? Something called swoon theory. What if he only fainted and did not die? How do you prove? Amen. Rise to your feet, everybody. Have you learned something? I'm going to pray. We're just going to, you know, there were 3 points I give or two. What's the first? Let's come. What's the second? Be wise. We're going to pray that, Lord God, as we follow your mandate to preach to souls in the world, we have much more drive to begin to prepare, such that we will have greater impact as a result of this preparation. As men of the Spirit, we realize that we are sent and we take evangelism much more serious. Can you begin to pray wherever you are? Lord Jesus, we are more serious about evangelism. We are wise as serpents. We are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, to be able to reach more and more and more and more people.